My name is Hillary Clinton. And I feel enthusiastic about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hello, and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I, of course, am Conan O'Brien, as you can tell from my reedy, nasally twang. No one hates their voice more than I hate mine. Mm. I know you think you hate my voice. I hate mine even more than you do and have my entire life. I'm joined...
That's good.
What?
I was just like, mm-hmm.
Well, come on.
I was like, okay.
Are you thrilled when you hear my voice, Sona?
No.
I didn't think so.
But I'm not thrilled for different reasons, not because of like the tone of it. It's just, I don't want to hear what you have to say sometimes. Yeah.
I think I'm a terrific boss who would never throw small candies at you that I found here at the podcast studio in a basket.
I'm glad you brought that up because every time we come to Earwolf, you'll take whatever candy is in this basket and you'll just throw it at me.
No,
all
but,
of it.
But first I say I try and get as far away from you as possible, and then I say Sona, and you say yes, and I'll say and just picture this, we are in a completely empty podcast studio. There's nobody here for COVID reasons, and it's all been scrubbed and hosed down and filled with Purell, and I will pick up one of these small candies like a Starburst, and I'll get as far away from you in the room as possible, and then I say Sona, and you go yeah. There's dividers in the room, and I can just see the bun on your hair above the divider. And I'll say, would you like a Starburst?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, oh God, no, no.
Yeah.
And then I throw the Starburst and I try and hit the top of your hair bun.
Yes.
I don't think I've hit you yet.
Yes, you have. Multiple times
don't
you've
think,
hit me.
No.
And you don't even throw it lightly. You throw it as hard as you possibly can.
The Starburst
can.
Is a soft candy.
No.
I would never throw
you
a...
You celebrate when you hit me.
I would never throw, and this is what I think makes me a great human.
Okay.
I would never launch a hard candy. I would never launch a bar that had any mass. It has to be a small, soft
bite
candy.
Size. No, Starburst is hard and pointy. It's got sharp corners.
Yes.
Matt, I'm sorry, that's our producer, Matt Corley. Whose side are you on?
Sona's.
Me?
Mine.
Oh, okay, good. Matt, I'm telling you, there's a joy that comes with tossing a Starburst across a room at someone who doesn't deserve it. I don't know what that is.
It's being a sociopath.
Yes.
Yes, that's what it is.
Very good. Sociopath.
It is enjoying inflicting harm on other people with bite-sized candy.
I never throw a raspberry or a cherry. It's always a lime.
The crappy flavors.
Well, something that, no, that's terrible.
A lemon. Who wants a lemon Starburst?
No one.
I'll still eat it, though. After it hits me, I'll reach down.
That's
grab
the saddest
it and eat
part.
It.
Is it will bounce off your impenetrable hair bun. Sometimes it lodges in the hair bun. Some night you're going to be undoing your hair at night, and six Starbursts are going to fall out of it.
It's a pinata.
That's right. That's right. It's a pinata.
What a waste of time.
I think I'm a good man.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what?
There was no transition there.
No,
I just wanted to.
No.
Well, anyway, it's decided. I'm a very moral and fine man.
No, that is not what was decided.
In summation, anybody who missed the previous part, best boss ever.
Monster. Sociopathic monster.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
Let's continue.
To inflict harm.
Matt,
with
how are you?
Bite-sized candy.
Let's ask Matt how he's doing, and it can't all be about you, Sona. What are you, Pavarotti warming up? Me.
Oh,
it's
got to
be about someone else occasionally.
You should not
I'm a genius.
Be here right now.
Please. Picasso working with paints. Everyone stand back. Matt Gorley, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm good.
You clearly don't want a part of it. When you talk that way, it's just you don't want the attention turned to, I'm fine, I'm good. Your house could be on fire right now. You just don't want the attention on you.
I don't.
You know, I'm like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. I see motion and movement.
Yes.
If you remain perfectly still, you're safe.
Yeah.
If you just freeze, but at the minute you move, that's when I chomp you.
Yeah. And if there's a cup and you start seeing the ripples, you know you're right behind.
You know what's crazy? My son, who's growing very fast, has gotten so big now that when he comes down the stairs, my wife can't tell if it's me or him.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't know now. So I'll walk into the room and she'll be like, oh, I thought you were Beckett. Or he'll walk in the room and she'll, oh, I thought you were your dad. Because she just hears a big galoot monster tumbling down the stairs. It sounds like someone's literally throwing antique furniture down the front steps. And then either my son shows up or I do.
That's how my brother and I were. Or my brother would barrel down, and once he and I were fighting, he ran down and then his knee went through the wall.
What? That sounds like my house growing up.
It was horrific. It was just the two of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was you. It was like a circus.
Yes. There were six kids. My grandmother lived with us for a while. There were dogs. There were parakeets, a cat. And a lot of us are big. So there was a lot of clomping and smashing down the stairs, smashing into things, crashing into each other. Fights would break out.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
It's nice that that's continuing on with the next generation.
Yeah.
The clomping and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I wear wooden shoes in the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense. I like to clog and I enjoy it. It's how I relax. I wear wooden shoes while I do Irish step dancing. And sometimes the clog goes flying off my foot. I've killed six people accidentally. Whenever they find a clog near a dead body in my neighborhood, they know that I've been Irish step dancing again.
It's your calling card.
It's my calling card. It's Conan. Irish step dancing with his stupid clog. Well, let's bag up this body and get it out of here. We can't be messing around today. And I say that every week.
Mm-hmm.
I know I say, oh, we can't afford to waste time.
Right. You say it and then you waste time.
Yeah. And then I waste time.
Yeah.
But we really can't today.
Mm-hmm.
Because my guest today is the former Secretary of State. I don't get to say that very often.
Yes.
In fact, I've only said it one other time.
For her.
When she was on the last time. My guest today is, of course, the former Secretary of State, the first female senator for New York, and the first woman to earn a major party's nomination for president. She now has a new podcast, You and Me Both, with new episodes every Tuesday. And I will tell you something. I was delighted speaking with her last time. She was so loose and so funny. And so I'm thrilled that she is with us today. Hillary Clinton, welcome. You know, a lot of people are slow to warm to me, but you and I have spoken before, and I thought we got along really well. So I think I'm very happy that you're enthusiastic about this.
Yeah, no, I am, you know, because really, if we're going to be stuck at home for the foreseeable future, we need to keep our spirits up and figure out how to do. So,
right.
And I think you'd be a great conspirator about stuff like that.
Well, that's, you know, thank you. So basically you're saying you're enthusiastic because there's COVID and you've lowered your standards for who you will talk to. Well,
I wouldn't put it exactly like that, Conan. I mean, you know, I understand that some might interpret it that way.
Yes, but, yes, yeah. Yes. Only 80%. Well, Secretary Clinton, it is a joy to talk to you again. I had such a good time. I want to say it was a year ago, I believe I spoke with you and Chelsea. And what was interesting about it is we had such a good time. And then Chelsea had to dash out. You stayed behind and you were really eager to talk about podcasts and sort of pick my brain about it. And I thought, what's going on here? Now you have a podcast.
And I owe it all to you.
So you were using me is what you were doing.
No. I was blown away by number one, how much fun it was and how relaxed you were and how easy it was to just start up a conversation. I loved the format. And I think you are my very first podcast.
I
remember it so
well. Oh, that's so nice. No, we did have a really nice time. And
yeah, we did.
People loved you have such a great laugh. And I think, you know, one of probably the burdens of being in public office and being in the public eye so much and having to talk about serious things is that there's this pressure to always be incredibly serious.
Right.
And I remember thinking on the podcast, you clearly, and I've heard this about you, people would always tell me, she is a lot of fun. You know, Hillary Clinton is a lot of fun. She's the life.
It's a well-kept secret.
Yeah, no. She's the life of the party. And you were just
enjoying. Lock up that funny one over there.
Well, I could tell you really had a good time. And so you've got your own podcast now.
I'm
curious, where are you? Are you in a studio? Are you in your house? Where are you?
I'm in my attic. Yeah, I'm in my house.
That's
in my
attic. That's just sad.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's kind of cool.
It's you cool. Know? No, it's
okay,
cool.
I'm going to go do Conan's podcast. Guess I'll have to go upstairs. I really kind of get a kick out of it. And once, you know, you kind of lit the fire for this podcast idea, and I talked to a lot of people, a lot of people talked to me about it. So yes, I eventually did decide to take the leap, and it coincided with COVID. Who knew?
Yeah. No, but isn't it? It's kind of nice to be able to, well, first of all, for you, go up into your attic. You've got family around. You've got these grandkids. It must be nice to say, it's been nice. It's been great. But I'm going upstairs now to do my podcast. Do you ever say it when you don't have a podcast, but you go up there anyway?
I'm not going to give away all my secrets. You know, I mean, we need to talk some more before I get to that level with you.
I can tell that you're surrounded by books. You have a lot of books in that attic.
Oh, my gosh. We have so many books. You know, Bill and I are book hoarders. I mean, we're really pretty neat about everything else, but books everywhere. We have literally built bookcases wherever there's, you know, a foot of wall. And I don't know what we're going to do with all of them because, you know, most people are not into books the way we are. So we've got thousands of them.
Do you find, because I'm a reader, I love reading. I've tried the Kindle, but I like to have a physical book, I have
Me
found.
Too.
I'm constantly forgetting what just happened in the book. And so I'm used to going back a few pages to say, oh, right, okay, that was, okay, now I know who they're talking about. Yes. But I know that you don't have that problem. You have you're famous for your memory. You have an incredible memory.
Oh, you know, that's, you know, overstated, but I'm like you. I've tried Kindle. I've tried to read on an iPad. I like a book. I like a book in my hand. I also have the terrible habit of turning up pages in the bottom corners if there's something I want to remember to go back to and I don't want to stop and do it now.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's bad.
So my books are written in, my books are creased and crumpled and corners turned down, but I love that.
But the problem is
that physical feeling of reading a book.
But Secretary Clinton, you've been doing that in bookstores and then not and then you've not bought the book. And there's been a lot
only
of complaints.
Once, really, only once. 35 years ago. I'm sorry. How'd you find out?
Oh, I have people tailing you all the time. And you've been going from bookstore to bookstore, writing notes in the margins, folding, and then saying, I think I'm good. I'm not going to buy anything
only
today.
Only the books that are mean about me, of which there's a lot to choose from. So, you know, yeah, I go, only those books, not the other ones.
Right,
yeah.
Do you, I mean, you know, It is mind-boggling. I've, over the years, had people write unkind things about me. And then there is your experience of people writing things that are just blatantly untrue and insane. You know, these kind of crazy internet rumors. And, you know, you're an international drug lord and a hired assassin.
Who
and who knew? Well, I think you knew. And I think it's been very profitable for you. But... But you clearly have been able, I think, to detach from all that and see it for the insanity that it is, as opposed to
you,
it.
You have to. You know, there's so many different reasons people say unkind, critical, or in my case, wacky, crazy, you know, off the wall things. And you do have to, as I have said for a really long time, take legitimate criticism seriously, but not personally. I mean, you know, you can learn things from your critics that your friends either don't notice or don't tell you. So there's that whole category. And obviously, you know, there's a lot out there. But then there's just the stuff that comes at you for all kinds of reasons that actually have very little to do with you. I mean,
it has nothing to do with you,
except you're the target, you know. So it's, you know, it's commercial or financial reasons. It's political reasons, cultural reasons, you name it. So I am amazed at the incredible nonsense that is out there about me. And unfortunately, you know, this was always part of human nature. It goes back, you know, many, many thousands of years. But the internet has amplified it. It's on steroids, yes. Just like Trump. You know, it's on steroids. And so it's like going everywhere. you meet people, and I haven't, you know, had a lot of experience with this, but friends of mine and colleagues meet people who say, oh, you know, I read on the internet that she did X, Y, or Z. And, you know, my friends look at them like, what planet are you from? But people believe that stuff because they see it on the internet.
I think humans aren't ready for the internet. And so people just go down a deep well and then come away from their computer and say, well, apparently it's a known fact that, you know, Hillary Clinton's been, you know, stealing babies and, you know, and selling them around the world. And she's made hundreds of millions of dollars doing that. And she's used that to buy cocaine. And you're like, what? 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 Now I know only half of that's true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, only half of that. Right. Yeah. 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 On a good day. Yeah.
That's how you get all that book money. All that money for those books.
I hoard books and they're everywhere. But on a serious note, I think you're absolutely right. There's a movie that I just saw on Netflix called Social Dilemma, where some of the some of the people who've actually designed the algorithms, you know, engineers, coders, and the like, are saying, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, this is getting out of control. We got to rein it back if it's going to have the benefits without the, you know, terrible damage."
Right.
I think there are lessons to be learned.
I was going to ask you, it occurred to me today, I was driving in to do this interview, learning just the worst things about you. No idea that you were a professional assassin. I mean, the crimes you've committed, just insane. But
there's a very long list. You can see it on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I was up all night and I have a list of charges here to go through. You steal hot air balloons, apparently. I didn't know that about you.
Oh, I didn't know that one either. Oh, wow. I'm adding it.
It's just now I'm realizing it's really fun to come up with them, but I can't come up with any that are sillier than some of the ones that are out there.
Yeah,
but it was occurring to me that you've had this incredible career of service, and you've spent most of it, you know, beginning with your time as First Lady and going on as Senator and Secretary, that you're in the mode of answering questions and making sure that you answer people's questions. And constantly, I think every time I saw you, people were firing questions at you and your job was to answer them. Now in this role, and I know you're a very curious person, you get to ask questions. That's got to be fun.
It's so much fun. And, you know, when I finally decided, I was going to do this, I thought, this is great, because there's all these people that I'm interested in, that I find fascinating, that now I'm going to get to, you know, ask questions that are on my mind for a change. So the title, I came up with the title after a lot of false starts. You know, I was going to call it I Told You So, but you know, that didn't go over so well.
That could come across, you know, we know.
I thought that'd be a conversation stopper instead of a starter.
Welcome back to I Told You So.
Yeah, exactly. And so I found myself, especially, you know, as this pandemic took off and everybody was trying to figure out what the heck was going on and all the craziness around, you know, I'd find myself saying, you and me both. I mean, you know, I can't believe this is crazy. You know, you and me both. So that's how we came.
You and me both is a great title. I think what's nice about it is that, yes, it pertains to the current situation and this, what we've all been living through for the last 4 years and the madness and the fears that we all have. But it also is a title that will serve you well when we're through all this, and we will get through it.
Yes.
You and me both is you can talk about anything. You can talk
and
about grandchildren. You can talk about, you know, and I think that's the lovely thing about it is that you're not tied to politics or policy.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I did talk to John Legend about voting and about, you know, what he and others are doing to try to get, you know, the Florida state government to allow the people who have served their time to actually show up and vote. Right. But I also talked to Tan France about, you know, what do we wear in a pandemic? And, you know, you would not be surprised to hear him, you know, say when that episode runs that, well, you know, yes, we're all wearing leisure clothing.
Yes.
But we should at least try to wear nicer leisure clothing, which, you know, I totally bought into. And I got to talk to Diana Nyad, who's like one of my really favorite people, because this is a woman who tried over and over and over again to swim. She was a long distance endurance swimmer. And then she quit after, you know, she did like around Manhattan and all kinds of other great swims. She quit and became a sportscaster. But she had tried when she was younger in her, you know, 30s to swim from Cuba to Florida. And it's apparently a really, really tough swim because of the currents and the sharks and the box jellyfish, which can kill you and all the rest. I had the best time talking to her. I mean, she's stumbled out of the water on her fourth try at the age of 64. So,
isn't that,
you know,
incredible?
a lot of encouragement there. So, I, you know, I'm trying to talk to people that I'm really interested in.
Yes.
And I love talking to you. So maybe someday, you know, when
maybe someday I'll do something impressive. Is that what you're saying? Maybe someday.
No.
You know, I've tried I've tried that Cuba swim, and it's no fun.
No, but you know, there's other things you have done, which, you know, are not just in the public arena. That would be fun to talk about.
What is really fun is, and I think this is what you're going to enjoy the most, and this is what I have found over the years. There is the part of my job where I would entertain, as an entertainer, where I would need to speak to people who didn't necessarily have a lot to say or weren't that introspective, and you know, actors maybe who were very young who hadn't had a lot of life experience. And I found myself really being drawn to people who maybe weren't as famous, but who had done something that blew my mind. You know, people that had, you know, walked across, you know, the South Pole and only brought, you know, three dogs with them and some beef jerky. And I'm like, how did you do that?
Exactly.
I mean, that is, I made that up. Yeah. No one did that. But
but some people got close to doing that.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, when we were chatting earlier and you said, do you have a motorcycle? And I could tell. First of all, no one's ever asked me that before because I think I don't seem like a motorcycle person. And the truth is, I love motorcycles and I have a motorcycle and I ride it a lot and I really enjoy it. And I thought, that's so interesting. No one's ever asked me that, but it's one of the first things Secretary Clinton asked me out of the blue. And I happened to have a long ride yesterday and was thinking this morning about how much I enjoyed it. And it's almost like you're just curious. You just want to know, hey, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Well, also, when we were talking, you promised to give me a ride, you know, either on the back or in a sidecar, and I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, I think it would be such a great, I just love the photo op.
We could put the microphones in our helmets. We could do the podcast while we're on the road. Would that be great? This would be like updating Five Easy Pieces or something. I mean, the potential, Conan. Think of the potential. I think you and I could sell that right now.
Yes,
to
here's
one
the
of
idea.
The streamers. They are so hungry for content. Can you imagine how excited they'd be?
Let's get this pitch straight, okay? Now, obviously, it's your name first because you're a historic figure and revered, so you're first, although your criminal
alphabetically too.
Yes,
on,
also. You know. Although, you know, your criminal record, we'll have to look into that a little more. But
I think that'll make us more attractive.
Yes, yes. Conan on the road with the ultimate badass, world-renowned criminal, Hillary Clinton. You and I, I'll ride the motorcycle, you in the sidecar, and or however you want to work it. I think we both need to be wearing giant goggles because it's a funny look.
Of course.
And then we stop occasionally.
Well, leather. I mean, we got to wear leather.
Oh, my God. Leather.
Don't you think?
Wait a minute. Yes, yes. I love it. If you're going to wear a leather biker outfit, I'm down for this.
Okay.
I am down for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have to clear this with your husband or Chelsea?
That's all over. I'm done with all that public life stuff.
Really? Okay. So, all right. All right. Good. Good. Well, I'm going to pitch this show in an hour.
Oh, good.
I'm
gonna pitch okay. It.
I understand that you will get the lion's share of the money. I know how these things
work. Oh, no. We're going to go 50-50.
Really?
50-50. I insist on it.
Okay. All right.
Now, if there's a sequel, we
can talk about it. Oh, so you're going to want like a profit participation. You're going to want to have
20%. Don't you think?
Yeah.
What do they call it? The back end or something?
I don't know. You're talking. Yeah. I've been forced out of the business long ago. Can you imagine what your grandchildren would think? How many grandchildren do you have?
I have three fabulous grandchildren. Wow. I have a 6-year-old granddaughter and a 4-year-old and 1-year-old grandson.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what they would say if pulled up on a motorcycle?
They would be so excited. Are you kidding? They would be beside themselves. They'd want to ride in the side.
Well, I think we got to go for it.
On the road with Conan and the grandkids.
Yeah. No, we can't take them in the motorcycle. We'll get a lot of blowback on that one. Okay. First of all, you want to be putting children to work on road crews and then you want them in a motorcycle.
They need something to do. They're going crazy with Zoom learning. They got to do something.
I know. I love that when I told you that my kids, just before we started the chat, or just as we were beginning the chat, I told you my kids were bored with Zoom learning, and you said, "Well, they do give me. They could work on building a road."
That would be educational.
Are you good? Let me ask you this: are you good with the tech side of all this? Because I find that a little frustrating. I'm sure you have people helping you.
I do. Let me be really clear. I am so. I guess primitive, a beginner. I mean, there's things I can do, but don't trust me with it. No. Mm-hmm.
No. So, I mean, my problem is I have a son who is 14 and he's very gifted with computers and very smart and intelligent about computers. And he spends all of his time laughing at me because I'm like a caveman and I want to turn on the news and see what's happening, but I have the wrong remote. And he says, no, it's not that remote, idiot. Mm-hmm. And no, that, oh, really? Oh, really? So that's how you think you download an app? Really? And I'm humiliated all the time. And Sona, my assistant, you've been witness to this, right?
Well, yes, every day. It's the most frustrating thing, for sure.
And I'm a total Luddite, a total idiot when it comes to technology.
Right. And it, the simplest things, just searching for something on Google, you're like, I just don't remember how to do that.
Oh, now I know how to do that. I want to jump right in here, and I want to be totally associated with your incapacity. I mean, I'll go a little way with you, but not to Google.
You can't do that. You're willing to be somewhat self-deprecating, but then we got to a level where you can't follow me because I'm too stupid.
That would be humiliating. I mean, self-deprecating is one thing, but admitting you don't know how to Google, okay. That's a problem.
You're shredding me right now. I don't enjoy it. This is not. I could get this abuse other places. I can't believe. I love that you have this format. First of all, I think to show your curiosity and also let loose, because I think my sense is that in public life, and it's not just my sense, I'm absolutely certain of it, with the culture wars and everything, that you always have to be, I see it, everyone always has to be couching what they say so carefully, and half the news media at least is always trying to get you to trip up and say the wrong thing or extrapolate what you said into something that's not what you said. And then to be in this format where you can, I don't know, I feel like we're sitting around having a glass of wine and we're
good
just
idea. Good idea.
Well, it's early, Secretary Clinton.
It's earlier for you.
That's right. It's 3 hours later for you.
Yeah, three hours later.
Okay, all right.
But Conan, I think, look, you know, you make such a good set of points. I mean, it is a tightrope when you're in the public arena, unless, you know, you lie with impunity and abandon. But if you're trying to get it right, or you're trying to be, you know, responsive and responsible, and I'm afflicted with the responsibility gene and, you know, my public career. Yeah. And I would add there's an additional set of, you know, concerns around being a woman. I watched, you know, the debate with Kamala, who's a, you know, friend of mine. I talked with her a lot. Thought she did a great job. You know, and some of the commentators afterwards said, well, you know, she was kind of pulling back. No, she was, you know, projecting and talking and laughing and, you know, frowning like a real human being.
Yes.
But women's public appearance is still looked at through a different lens.
Yes.
So you just have to, you know, you have to figure out the best way you can to deal with it and get through it. I do think that being on the other side of that, as I am now, and especially in this format, which I feel really comfortable in. I was a big radio person growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the radio on in my house all the time. And even when I was a little girl and I'd come home from school, you know, I'd sit at the kitchen table. And my mother would make, you know, tomato soup or something. And we'd listen literally to the radio because there was a soap opera on the radio in Chicago that coincided with my being home from lunch that my mother loved. So I loved the format of radio. I loved the ease of being able to listen and be thinking or doing something else. So along comes podcasting, which is kind of like the, you know, radio 10.0. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it brings people back into that intimate listening experience, usually, you know, a host like yourself and a guest like me, or maybe a couple of people. I find it, I don't know, I find it very relaxing, informative, and fun.
Yeah. And so, I think it's also, I remember us talking about this after the podcast I did with you last year. And I think I was saying, if I remember correctly, but we were having a discussion about how, you know, for someone like you who people can take your image or your words when you're in a certain arena, and they can do with it what they will, depending on what their intention is, what their predisposed political beliefs are, their biases. This is a format where I defy anybody to listen to us talking right now and have any kind of problem with you, because you're when the visual cues are taken away and it's just the two of us chatting, and you're saying, let's jump on a motorcycle and Conan, you idiot, what do you mean you can't Google something on, do a Google search? They get a sense of just you. And I think one of the problems in our country right now is it's too easy to make someone another. And any medium where someone can say, you know, I was listening to Hillary Clinton today and she was funny and relaxed, and in the appropriate moments, she was giving Conan a hard time because, man, someone needs to. Someone needs to call him on the rug for a few things. That is, I think, something very powerful about this medium.
Yeah.
I did want to bring up something that you mentioned. It's an admission on my part that I am somewhat embarrassed by the fact that I grew up in a liberal household with, you know, good, very hardcore Catholic parents and Democrats. And I'm an Irish Catholic from Brookline, Massachusetts, so in the Kennedy Democrat mold. And I grew up working for people like Congressman Drynan and Barney Frank, and really being committed to a lot of those sort of core ideals of the Democratic Party. That's not been a big part of my comedy, but that's who I am. That's what I identify with. I remembered thinking, being surprised in the last 20 years. There was part of me I think was very naive. And I think there was part of me that thought, yes, America has a terrible racial problem and that we've come a long way, and maybe thinking we came further than we did. And that was upsetting to me, you know, in the last 20 years, to constantly be reminded that, no, we haven't come as far as you may have thought we did, Conan. And then the second thing is, I think I underestimated the misogyny in our culture. Mm-hmm. And I feel badly about that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Kamala Harris clearly has to play by a separate, different set of rules when she debates. Basically, a guy who looks like a Lego figure for a white man.
With a fly on his head.
I know, with a fly on his head, yeah. But I mean, by the Legos just come out with a new figure, the white man figure. And I was very aware now, and I don't think I used to be, that there's a set of rules. And obviously, I'm talking to you, who knows better than anybody in the world, unfortunately. And you had to be, I think, the figurehead at the prow of the ship, and there are other women before you. But this is very unfortunate that we've all kind of, I think, had to find out together how much of a bias there is against mm-hmm. women. And you know, as someone who's got a 16-year-old daughter, I want her to have a completely different experience. I think thanks to you, she will. And thanks to a lot of women like you, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all mm-hmm. kinds of women, I think my daughter's going to have a very different experience. But I have a lot of empathy for people like yourself that have had to go through it.
Well, I really appreciate your saying that. And I like the way that you kind of contextualized it. Because I do think that we have to admit that we've made progress. We've made progress in these two really thorny, difficult areas of our communal life, namely race and sex. And we've seen racism and we've seen sexism that we've had to fight against and overcome, and we've had to change laws. And there's a constant pushback that sometimes is not as visible or effective as it can become. And so when I look at where we are, I think that Trump and his enablers gave a lot of permission to mm-hmm. people to mm-hmm. say things and act in ways that were deeply racist and misogynistic. And part of what I hope this election will be about is reclaiming any ground that's been lost and continue to push forward because it's unfinished business. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody has lived through the last months, how can you not see the need for a moral reckoning with systemic racism? I mean, how can you deny that?
Right.
And I love, the reaction by young people who seem to be much more impatient and just unwilling to accept that this can't be changed, in the streets night after night, peaceful protesting. And I just hope that we can come together around this and admit that, we've made progress. I would certainly agree with that, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And, with respect to women, thanks to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we've knocked down a lot of the barriers and discrimination that had been enshrined in our Constitution and our laws. But we still live with implicit bias. We still have people with a straight face say, well, I'd hire a woman if I could find a qualified one, or I'd vote for a woman, just not that one or that mm-hmm. one or that one. Or
right,
that one.
Right. You got any more? How about these 50?
Yeah,
no, none of them. Yeah.
So people need to have, a certain level of, honesty and self-reflection. Like, hey, wait a minute. What do I have to do to do my part to, make sure that, black men and boys are not afraid to walk down the street mm-hmm. and, black women are not objectified and mistreated, and women in general get, like your daughter, get to go as far as their hard work and talent will take them. So it's a critical moment. Because, Trump embodied a lot of the, the cultural pushback. And
right.
it's something that is not going to go away if he loses, which, hopefully he will. And we change political directions. We still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think I'm a big surprise. But a big Biden-Harris supporter. mm-hmm. This is the shocking revelation in this podcast.
Yeah, we won't tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious. Have you decided yet who you're voting for? This is I love to say Now, Secretary Clinton, well, I know that you're still undecided.
Yeah. Who are these people that are undecided by this point? I don't know who these people are.
I love it. They can always find someone.
People who have an attention deficit.
Yes.
You know, they need some attention.
Yeah. No, they're always finding someone. Well, the election's tomorrow.
I'm still making
United
up my
States
mind.
Has been embroiled in financial, racial, half of the United States is on fire, unprecedented horrors under this administration. What do you think? Insane reality contestant Donald Trump or seasoned, calm, and moral Joe Biden?
I don't know.
I'd like to hear a little more about the crazy guy. Wait, Trump?
Yeah, I mean, does he like animals?
Yeah, he likes animals. Well, maybe him then. No, Biden likes animals too. Well, then I'm still undecided. It is maddening. It is maddening.
It's so maddening. And it's so crazy.
I just think, I know that you've lived in this world, but I am not a political comedian. That is something that I've always stayed away from. And not just because it's not, I've really wanted to be funny, and I've wanted to be funny for a lot of people. And I like to be funny, or I try to be funny about what makes us human and what makes us inherently silly as human beings and not Republicans or Democrats. And that's just always been sort of how I go about it. But over the years, and I've had a very good, I had John McCain and Bob mm-hmm. Dole on my late night show countless times. And
they're both funny guys.
Yeah, funny guys. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. And I remembered my introducing Senator McCain to my parents, and he was lovely to them, and they were floating on air. And I also got the chance to introduce my parents to you, and they were my mom. I've told you this before, but one of the early women to go to Yale Law School on a full scholarship. Mm-hmm. Her father was directed traffic in Brooklyn in Worcester, Massachusetts, and made $55 a week, and his daughter went to Vassar and then Yale on a full scholarship. And she was just floored to meet you. And like you, she encountered a lot of sexism along the way and just kept going. She was not bitter about it and took it in stride and kept moving. And my experience has been, I shared a stage when I spoke at Dartmouth with the first President Bush, and we had a lovely conversation about Ted Williams and the Boston Red Sox. And he said, "You got to come up to my house in Kennebunkport sometime." And I said, "Well, you don't mean that. If I came over the wall, they would take care of me pretty quickly." And he was laughing. But I met him, and I met Barbara as well, and they were absolutely lovely to me. And I have a picture with them, and it means a lot to me. So I'm not strident, but what I am strident about is morality and ethical behavior.
And justice.
Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. you do not have to be an ethicist to know that this president has completely undermined the norms of human behavior. Yeah. And as a dad, I'm embarrassed. And I've several times said to my kids, I'm sorry that this is the president that you've got. And
I really resonate to that, because, you know, as somebody who's followed politics, been involved in, you know, greater or lesser ways for a long time, you know, I've disagreed with Republicans, I've disagreed with Democrats, but it was always, on the basis of some kind of policy difference mm-hmm. or approach that, you know, I didn't think would work and they did, or vice versa. This is an aberration. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of presidents, Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, on a human level, as you're describing, You know, you could feel the humanity. You know, mm-hmm. you could sense the, you know, the values, the norms,
right.
Whether you agreed with them or not. But you knew that this was a person who had thought a lot and really struggled and often overcame problems in, you know, in his or her own life. What we're going through now is just so different from anything that I think we've ever experienced, really. So I'm hoping that we end this experiment, this national nightmare in this election.
Experiment is a very kind word for it.
Well, it's crazy yeah. because it kind of was.
It was,
I mean,
yeah.
people were like, what difference does it make? These politicians, they're all alike. You know, I don't really know what they're going to do for me. Let's try this reality TV guy. I mean, how bad could it get? So
there
now
you go.
We have a lot of evidence.
Right. Was that another possible title for your podcast? How bad could it get?
Yeah, how bad could it get? But,
so it's I told you so.
That would have a short window.
Well, I'm very thrilled to announce that the movie/TV series Biker Buddies, starring Secretary Clinton and Conan O'Brien, riding across the country, one on the motorcycle.
Do you already have a deal for us? You
yes,
really do?
It just came through.
Wow,
we are getting paid $7,000 a year. From the people at Quibi. This is the best deal I could make quickly. At least I think I was talking to Quibi. I'm not sure. It seemed very chaotic on the other end of the phone. You know, I have to say, it is, it's really is so much fun to talk to you. And again, I had the same experience I had the first time, which is you're just a delight to chat with, and you're somebody who you have the values that I respect, which is make yourself as intelligent as you can, read a lot of books, have some humility, and work very hard. And you have done that, and I think you've done an immeasurable amount of good for people like my daughter. So I'm proud to know you, and I'll be by tomorrow. I guess. Just hang out, maybe?
Anytime. Literally, anytime.
You're saying anytime.
Are you going to ship the bike ahead?
Yeah, I should probably ship the bike. I'll ship the bike, yeah, and then I'll come by. And, you know, we could get another sidecar if your husband wants in. That could be on the other side.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? Maybe he's going to get in the way. He's going to kill our, we have a good chemistry.
I think we could, like, send him ahead to do scouting for locations.
Wait, the former president is a production scout that goes ahead and scouts locations? Wow.
He would love it. Yeah. He loves talking to folks.
Oh, trust me. I know.
Great.
This is a true story. I did an event with your husband. I just think it was a couple of years ago. You were there too.
Yes, I was.
And
it
we
was
were in,
awesome.
Was it Berkeley we were in?
Yeah, we were at Berkeley for a Clinton Foundation event.
And so he did a great job. We did this Clinton Foundation event and he did this terrific, you know, he did a great job. And my job was to ask him questions. And I'm sitting up there on stage and knee to knee and he's talking and he's, you know, never at a loss for words. And then it's over. And I think, well, we're going to be ushered away. And your husband kind of follows us a little bit. And then he's talking not just to myself, but to you as well, sir.
Yes, yeah.
And he's talking to us about ways to get fresh water to this part of Africa that needs better water. And there's a way they can do it. And he's talking to us and he's going on at great length. And his advance team is tugging at his elbow and they can't get him to stop explaining because there's literally a line of 700 people that he is promised to get a photo with.
Yeah.
But he can't stop talking to me about it. And then finally, they're looking at me angrily, like Conan, and I'm not saying anything. And I made a hand gesture, like, "What do you want me to do?" He's a former president. I can't say zip it. I know you can, but I can't.
Yeah, I can. But he really, you know, when he is talking to somebody like you, that he thinks, you know, this guy really could understand it or
right,
get it,
right.
or appreciate it. He's, you know, he's hard to stop because
right.
he wants to kind of get it out and get you involved in it. And, you know, I'm surprised he didn't call you and say, let's go to Africa and figure out how we're going to get water.
I think he did. I just didn't take the call. I was like, I'll ride with you anytime on the motorcycle. Okay. But you know, when he starts talking about fresh water, I just start to, you know, I want to help, but I can't hear all about it. Well, Secretary Clinton, thank you so much again. An absolute delight. My best to your husband and to Chelsea and to your grandchildren.
Yes.
And like you, I've got my fingers crossed for better times. I think better times are going to come. I really do.
You and me both, as I like to say.
You and me both. Thanks. Very good. You're already learning. You're learning the tricks of the trade. You and me both. And continue to have fun with your podcast. And I'll be there anytime you need me.
Well, I'm going to ask. Okay. Well, that means a lot to me.
Well, the answer is no. I'm very busy. That was too easy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care of yourself.
I will.
Bye-bye.
A while back on the podcast, we thought we'd check in later to see how your hair is doing because you've decided not to cut it during quarantine, and we want to check in with the progress.
Well, I wouldn't call it progress.
Right.
That would be a mistake. I have not had a haircut during this entire COVID misadventure that we're experiencing. It's getting extremely long in the back.
Yes,
it is. To the point... Almost, it's almost in man. I mean, I could put an elastic around it. I won't.
Why not?
I don't like that look.
Okay.
Can you at least do it with your hands right now just to kind of show us and see?
I mean, this is really.
Oh, look at that.
There's a lot back here. You can really grab onto it.
Wow.
Also, in the front, it gets down in my eyes.
Oh, my God.
I had someone say to me the other day, who's known my family for a long time, you look exactly like your mom because I have my mom and I look very much alike.
Yes, you do.
And now my hair, I think, is maybe longer than my mother's hair.
Mm.
Here's what I've noticed. I'll step out of the shower. First of all, trying to shampoo hair.
Yes.
Sonny, you have a massive amount of hair. Like, just to try
a massive amount of hair.
Well, I mean, it's insane.
That's not a nice way to say it. But
you
have
listen, you have lovely hair.
I have very thick, curly hair. Yes.
Yeah.
Massive.
Well, it's whatever. Anyway, it looks like you crashed into a hedge.
What the hell?
But my point is this. And maybe you can relate to this. I'm in the shower and usually, you know, lather up and just...
No, nobody needs details. Okay. Yes, you take a shower.
I'd like to rub the soap
against my hard muscles.
Yeah. Okay, come on.
The warm water running down the creases of my pectorals, my six-pack.
Okay.
And into coppery nether regions.
Come on!
Oh, but anywho...
Everyone takes showers. Everyone knows what you're talking about. Let's move on.
Well, let's just say I work out. Anyway.
Okay. What you just did was horrible.
Yeah, I need a shower after hearing you take a shower.
Anyway, you know, whenever I get out of the shower and I'll notice that I thought I dried off, my hair holds on to about, I want to say, 6 liters of water.
Right.
And then it slowly runs down the back of my neck for the next 6 hours until it's soaking on my pants. It looks like I've wet myself.
What?
Yeah, it runs down my back. It gets on my...
That sounds weird.
Well, occasionally I do wet myself, I suppose. So.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Which adds to it. But it's got a kind of... People have told me it's kind of a surfer bro dude.
Yeah.
You do look very California.
It's like a surfer mixed with Tony Tennille from Captain and Tennille. Do you remember her?
Oh, great.
Yes.
Great reference, Matt.
Hey, you stay out of this.
Captain and Tennille, yes. That's a reference from...
Google it.
I want to say 1975.
But it's very specific.
Love will keep us together.
How am I going to line
that up? Think of me now whenever. Hey, do we have to pay for songs if I sing them on the podcast?
I don't know.
Because on TV, if ever I sing a song, my producer cuts it out and says, you shouldn't have done it. We can't afford it.
I'll never do that
to
you.
Can't do it. But if I sing a song on the podcast, do we have to pay it?
We'll find out.
Love will keep us together. Wait, are we getting Adam? Are you saying we do have to pay for it?
Oh, what? Really? Little snippet?
Yeah, that was just a snippet. You know what? I dare someone to come after us.
Yeah, I dare Captain and Tennille to come after us.
Well, Captain can.
I know.
So, yeah, you're saying he looks like the female.
He was relieved of his command.
Right?
Just leave it at that.
Yeah, the female.
He looks like the female.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He was saying, I think it's pretty... Yes.
I didn't know that. I didn't know which one was Tennille.
Well, her name's Tony, so yeah, it's not clear.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to get all of our references because you are younger than us.
Yes.
We're going to make a lot of references. I think Gorley and I are the Haldeman and Ehrlichman of podcasts.
Oh, yeah, with a little God. John Dean mixed in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
I'm not afraid of an old reference. Yeah.
That's good for our young audience.
Anyway.
No, keep going.
G. Gordon Liddy.
I'm sure they enjoy it.
Anywho, I'm just going to keep going for it. Yeah. And I'm curious what it's going to do.
What's the end game? Curious. Because when will you decide, now I'm done? Is it something to do with the hair or something to do with COVID being over?
I don't know. I will tell you this. The massive consensus is that people like it. Mm-hmm. And this is not a joke.
I like it.
People prefer this to the iconic, and I'm calling it iconic, Conan coif.
I don't like you saying it's iconic. I don't know that. It's very like, oh, my hair is so famous. I'm Conan O'Brien. Look at my pompadour. It's iconic. It's okay if other people say it, but when you say it, it sounds kind of dicky.
Well, I had to say it because no one else was saying it.
That so, doesn't make it better, though, does it, though? Do you think it does? I don't think so.
When I'm gone, I bet you there's a good chance that my hair is removed, combed up into its coif, and put in the Smithsonian.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a very good chance.
How? Do they cut your head
Trust
off?
Me, the Smithsonian every day is checking to see is Conan still alive. And they have a team that's ready to scramble, uh-huh. And they're going to say the minute they hear Conan O'Brien today was killed by his assistant, Sonam Obsession.
Yes, okay.
She finally had enough and fired a starburst at him, lodged in his throat, and he choked to death. Immediately, the Smithsonian scrambled the team to remove the hair from Conan's head, where it's been combed up into its iconic pompadour, and it now rests next to the chair that Teddy Roosevelt was sitting in when he was told that World War I had begun.
Okay, not the same, but okay. Okay, keep going.
Part of American history.
It'll make you feel better.
The Fonz's leather jacket is in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
And the chair that Archie Bunker's character sat in on All in the Family is in the Smithsonian. My real hair removed from my dead body will be in the Smithsonian for children to stare at and scream for all of time.
Will it be on the form of a head or just lie there like a puddle of ginger hair?
No. What they will do is they will have it on a sort of a mannequin head. It will not be a mannequin head that resembles me. I've requested that it be handsomer than me so that I look better. Listen, this isn't just me. This is something I've already been asked by the Smithsonian about the hair.
I don't think that ever happened. I would have taken that call probably.
Calls come in while you're in the in another area of the office.
And you answer them?
Well, sometimes I do pick up the phone.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
The Smithsonian would not call you without me knowing about it. I feel like that's ridiculous.
Well, your improv skills are amazing.
That didn't happen. No, it didn't.
You're supposed to yes and me.
I don't care.
Oh, I forgot.
I don't do improv.
Right. Anyway.
I'm your assistant.
That's a true story. That's a true wish.
Okay.
And I do think I have iconic hair. But I will say, God. Getting back to the original point, many people prefer this hair.
Do you like this hair better?
The overwhelming consensus I get from people is that I look younger.
You do?
Yeah, you do.
But why? Why do I look younger?
I think because it's a carefree, it's a devil may care sort of, you're just out there surfing sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I should start wearing board shorts.
Yeah.
Just board shorts.
No.
Board shorts and flip-flops.
No. Yeah.
And just a t-shirt.
You can't.
That says like bikini inspector.
Yeah.
You can't expose that much skin. So that's a no-go.
We'll wear that with a full aqua suit underneath.
Yeah. It fills out the body in there. Yeah, I like it. I want to hear from our listeners.
Yeah.
If they're cool with groovy surfer Conan, let us know. And if anyone's wants that ridiculous French pastry back on my head, I'd like to hear that as well.
That's good, because we're almost midway through the season, and then maybe we'll do a final check-in towards the end and see where things have gotten.
If this keeps going, I'm going to have to start using my fingers to push my hair away from my face.
He's doing like the Barbara Streisand hair part right now.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because my hair is going to start falling over my face, and I'm going to have to start using, you know, the way.
Why
and
are
you I
doing
know
it like that.
Well,
though?
Because we've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it again. Selling Sunset.
Oh God!
No.
The realtors, if they are real realtors, which let's face it, they're not. They all got their online certificate rather quickly. Anyway, they all use their hair is so perfect that they all use the very tips of their fingers to pull their hair back. And you know, Chrishell does it all the time, and of course, Christine does it. Hi, I'm Conan.
I love that you want to emulate women.
Yes,
but you.
I love women.
Haven't cited how men push their hair back.
Men don't. Men are the inferior species. I really believe that.
I agree.
Yeah. Men are replaceable. We're dying out fast. I'm smart. What? Sort of. I'm smart in that I'm very gender. It's vague. My gender is vague, I think. And I have very long hair. And I think when the revolution comes and women rise up, as they should, I think they'll take me along. Because they'll be like, she looks nice. And
so you're growing out your hair so you can blend in with women when we rise up.
I'm no dummy.
Okay. Yeah. This is the real reason for this hair growth, it sounds like. And that's smart. Good job. Okay.
Good.
Well, anyway, please send us cards through the mail.
What?
Yeah, because the post office is not overloaded right now and not being used for anything more important. So send us your cards and letters telling me which of my hairstyles you prefer. And that will be taken care of before mail-in ballots. Well, we're trying to count the mail-in ballots, but there seems to be millions of... postcards about Conan's hairstyle clogging up the mail. U.S. mail has given up and Trump's been declared the automatic winner. And if you want to blame someone, Conan O'Brien, the idiot narcissist who demanded everyone mail in a postcard about his hair, is to blame.
What a waste of time.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Sona Movsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. The show is engineered by Will Becton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.